want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the offs and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoot do de do ya do do.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food, Philly cheesesteaks. When I go to a city as a guest chef, our hosts usually take great care of us and routinely offer to take us to one of the fancy or four-star restaurants in town. I thought that was the best for a long while. But now we thank them and ask them to take us to a place with a more casual or even funky setting, if that's where the local flavor gods cook, and it usually is. We were in Philadelphia a few years ago to do a dinner. As is too often the case, once our obligations were over, we had to hightail it to the airport and get back home in time to cook dinner service at the restaurant. Our still non-gratified need for a famed Philly cheesesteak sandwich was haunting us when we suddenly spied a place advertising them within the airport. Desperate, we chanced it. I have had very good Italian beef sandwiches in Miami, birthplace Chicago, very close to perfect pulled pork barbecue. I won't venture to start that provenance argument, but never a proper Philly cheesesteak down our way. The origin of the lusty, meaty, cheesy dish goes back to two Philly brothers named Pat and Harry Oliveri, who began to serve steak on hoagie rolls in the early 1930s near South Philadelphia's famed Italian market. Our airport-situated Philly cheesesteak chef got our order for two cheese wit, which, if you are not indoctrinated into the specific drill for how to order in one of these places, automatically indicates you want fried onions and sweet bell peppers. The chef launched the meat onto a griddle, tossed a split open-faced hoagie roll near it, and scattered the onions and peppers around. The beef steam-griddled for a few moments, and then all hell broke loose. Here was an American urban black man doing a Japanese Benihana-like riff, using two spatulas instead of Japanese knives, as he drummed and chopped that meat into a delicately textured pile, now jumbled with the sweetly charred onions and bell peppers. The noise he created was yet another part of what made me stare and take extra notice. Whackada, whackada, whackada! At the end of this ballet of mallet and meat, he rolled the sandwich shut with the cheese melted underneath. We dug in. Hey, pretty good for an airport-based meal. The famed sandwich was originally made without cheese, and the first cheese to bless one was likely to have been provolone. The gent given credit for that move was one Joe, Cocky Joe, Lorenza. I have to marvel at how, in a town that brought us some major cocky guys, this Joe got the official nickname. But Joe's cockiness was undone. It took a food scientist to invent the concoction that goes on 95% of all Philly cheesesteaks now. And you already know, but my journalistic responsibility commands me to say it aloud, Cheese Whiz. We got the chance to go back to Philadelphia and went to Pat's King of Steaks. Despite a pretty frigid setting that day, we huddled on the sidewalk and waited. Philadelphians with much more cold weather tolerant constitutions stood with their jackets opened nonchalantly beside us as we waited for our order to be filled. When it came, we lifted our sandwiches and it was good. But, shh, I'd be run off of Pat's if they ever heard this, but that guy operating his Philly cheesesteak place at the airport? He was right up there with them. Cheese Whiz is a leveler. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.